Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. I hope you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying strong and you are staying healthy right now. And you know, you might have missed it because there are so many things going on right now in the world of sports, but you might have missed that we had a shakeup in the NBA draft lottery over the weekend. Easy to miss. You know, right now, a lot of things going on. Got NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, got NASCAR and golf and a lot of things happening, but they actually did do the NBA draft lottery and they picked who is going to get the top pick. And the Atlanta Hawks went all the way up the board and they get the number one pick in this year's NBA draft. They win the lottery for the first time in their franchise history. Now, the Hawks were 36 and 46 this year. Not great. But that was 10th place in the Eastern Conference. They had just a 3% chance to win the lottery. And they become a team with the fifth lowest odds ever to win the number one pick since that lottery began back in 85. The Washington Wizards, the Houston Rockets, and the San Antonio Spurs round out the top four. And of course, the Detroit Pistons, owners of the league's worst record this year, fell to number five in the draft. Hey, this is the second consecutive season that the Pistons have had the worst record in the entire league, but they have dropped to number five in the draft. It's not good, folks. I know they had to do this draft because NBA teams were so filthy, they were out there tanking and trying to lose, so they came up with this lottery system. And now we're just seeing a bad team in the Detroit Pistons. And they can't get better. They can't fix it because they keep getting their lottery ball skipped or whatever. The Houston Rockets, meanwhile, went 500 this year. They jumped up six spots. They get in the top three. You know, Washington and Detroit had the best chances to get the top pick. They had a 14% chance. Didn't happen. Now remember, the draft will be next month, June 26th and 27th in Brooklyn, New York. But what has Detroit done that is so wrong? Why have they angered the basketball gods so much? I mean, you know, aside from the city having like a horrendous crime rate and the water catching on fire as it's coming out of the faucet, what has Detroit done that has made the NBA draft gods so angry at it? Well, I'll tell you, because I'm going to attribute this to when they fired head coach Flip Saunders back in 2008. Sorry. Like, I know I harp on this a lot, but when teams fire good head coaches because they won a lot, but they talk themselves into, well, we won a lot, but not quite enough for our exquisite tastes, then bad things happen. I mean, think about it. The Chargers fired Marty Schottenheimer. They haven't been good since. The Nebraska Cornhuskers fired Frank Solich because, hey, the grass is always greener, right? Yeah, except that a lot of times it isn't greener. It's horrible. It's filthy. And bad voodoo just follows these teams around. And that was the case here, too. Oh, I know. Flip Saunders lost three straight Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, you haven't been near those conference finals since. But remember, he did also lead the Pistons to three consecutive Central Division titles and three consecutive appearances in those Eastern Conference Finals. He had a record in Detroit of 246 and 176. I mean, they would kill for that now. The Pistons haven't even been past the first round of the playoffs since they got rid of Flip Saunders. And bad things continue to follow this franchise. Now you missed out on another top pick. Are you telling me they wouldn't love to have been able to grab Victor Wembanyama last year? Yeah, that would have been nice. And I know this year is probably a below average draft. But I'm telling you right now, Detroit, you had better hope you didn't miss out on another franchise-changing player here. Because it's just going to set you back again and again and again. But like I said, the Detroit Pistons, you kind of did this to yourselves. You should have been happy with what you had. And instead, you act like spoiled brats and said, oh, Flip Saunders is the problem. Let's get rid of him. Yeah, you wish you had him now, don't you? Because you haven't won anything since. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com. We do have new articles going up every week. We had one go up this week about the Denver Nuggets and their bizarre playoff trip right now. But, you know, we have links to the podcast there. We have links to the YouTube videos. And yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. Need a t-shirt? Need a sweatshirt? Need a hoodie? You can go over there and get a Daily Dose logo on them and pick them in the color of your choosing. So make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week and checking in with what we have going over there. Hey, today on the show, the NBA playoffs are now rolling along. And, you know, we have seen a few surprises. Well, today, we will be handing out some winners and losers from those NBA playoffs so far. I know it's still a little bit early, but we have a number of winners and, yes, a number of losers that we need to touch on. Plus, we will have the return of the Daily Dose Top 5 after a few weeks off. We've had a few guests and a few things going on. And I'm telling you right now, this Daily Dose Top 5, it might make you scratch your head just a little bit this week. But first, we do have a few items in the news that we want to discuss. And let's go ahead and jump in this week and let's start in the NHL, where the Stanley Cup playoffs have been wild. Hockey is actually, they say, stealing some ratings from the NBA this year. And it only makes sense because we have had some crazy finishes, some great performances. The Stanley Cup playoffs have been very, very fun. But that's not where I want to start today. No, I actually want to talk about a story off the ice this week because it was announced following the completion of the NHL season that the Arizona Coyotes are going to be relocating to the state of Utah. I mean, we know Arizona can't have nice things, so they're going to head up to Utah and see if things are any better there. And the new Utah NHL team is trying to find their future nickname, and they are using a fan vote to try to do this. Well, now, the 20 team names that they are considering are out, and while there are a couple of nominations out there that are at least, I don't know, okay, I guess. Most of them are absolute unadulterated garbage. If you want to have your say in the matter, team owner Ryan Smith tweeted out a link last week and you can cast your vote for what the new team name should be. But, you know, it's always good to go into anything as like an informed voter, right? You don't want to just walk to the polls and cast your vote. You want to see what is out there. So let's go ahead and take a look at what you have to choose from if you're voting for the new Utah NHL team name. Now, we did know some of the names that were being considered because of some trademark applications a few weeks back, but here are the names that they are putting out there right now, and they say they are the top names. As you may or may not be aware, the team will be using Utah. It won't be Salt Lake City or anything like that. So keep that in mind as we go through these names. First up, the Utah Venom. Now, Venom is far from the worst. And I guess you could probably do some snake kind of stuff because I know they do have snakes in Utah. But it's still a no for me because it's going to make me think of like a comic book character. And I don't really want to think about Spider-Man when we're talking about hockey. Next, the Utah Ice. Would you call a team the, I don't know, Utah Field? Or like the basketball team, the Utah Court? Or a soccer team, the Utah Pitch? No! Utah Ice is awful. Okay, the Utah Freeze. I'm noticing a trend. There are a lot of ice and snow things happening here, and they're not good. The Utah Fury. This feels like a terrible, I don't know, XFL name or something. And so help me, if they pick Utah Fury, I will be calling them the Utah Furries. The Utah Blizzard. Again, this isn't great. Remember, you're going to be in the same division with my Colorado Avalanche. I'm not scared of a blizzard. An avalanche might kill me. I'm not scared of a blizzard. No, we don't need two snow themes in the same division. I know we're neighboring states. We don't need to do this. Blizzard versus avalanche, which is more dangerous? Please, this isn't even close. Come on. The Utah Blast. I'm not even joking. This is beyond horrible. It sounds like something you order at Dairy Queen or 7-Eleven or something. Or it sounds like something you get after eating at Taco Bell. No. The Utah Mountaineers. Okay, I know West Virginia has the Mountaineers. It's not bad. It's not terribly exciting. And I just bet we're going to have some groups protesting. They'd be mad at the implication of those darn colonizing Mountaineers. So I don't know if it's going to work. The Utah Caribou. I'm not going to lie. I actually kind of like this one. Is it great? No, but compared to the other so far, yeah, Caribou's pretty darn good. I actually would take that so far. The Utah Frost, another cold name. We get it. It snows in Utah. We know. Calm down. The Utah Outlaws, I guess it's not horrible. You could kind of do the Wild West theme here. I don't know much Wild West history that went on in Utah, but I guess you could try it. Okay, next up, the Utah Canyons. Okay, I know Utah has canyons. I get it. Is a giant hole actually what you want to represent you? Who do you think you are, the Kardashians? No, the Utah Mammoth. Again, not terrible, but we have a pro team in Denver that already goes by the Mammoth. So I don't know that that works. Although Snuffleupagus as a mascot, not bad. Still better than Canyons by far. The Utah HC, or the Utah Hockey Club. Now, the reason they're saying that's out there is because that's actually what they used at the draft. But the Utah HC, it's just very generic. It's not very good. I don't like it. The Utah Glaciers. I guess this would be the before picture of the Utah Canyons. Again, just because it's hockey doesn't mean you have to have a cold weather name. There's a million other... I don't get it. The Utah Squall. Okay, just stop it now. Now we've gotten ridiculous. Just stop being stupid. The Utah Powder. I guess that's for snow? The Utah Powder? Is Doc Gooden going to be your mascot? This is idiotic. The Utah Hive. Now, this is actually a nod to Utah's nickname, which is the Beehive State. And they actually have the Beehive State on their state flag. But why the Hive? I don't like the Hive. Why not be the Blue Jackets or the Yellow Jackets or the Wasps or the Hornets? There's a million other things out there you could be. Not the Hive. I don't like the Hive. I don't want to be the house. I want to be the actual, you know, being. The Utah Yeti. Now, I've heard some people that actually like this. The Yeti is from the Himalayas, not the Rockies. Sorry, hate to burst your bubble. And also, didn't Seattle just pick like a mythical creature with a Kraken like a year ago or something? We don't need another one. That's enough. The Utah Swarm, again, kind of like the Hive, but stupid as well. And finally, the Utah Black Diamonds. Now, this one is at least interesting. It's obviously a skiing reference, but I don't really care for it just because it doesn't really roll off the tongue. Utah Black Diamonds. I don't like the two-word thing. No. I don't like Utah Black Diamonds. Okay. Now, I realize the new name is going to be one of these. I get it. But I actually have some suggestions of my own. Hear me out. And I know they might not be popular at first, but I'm going to give you an easy one. The Utah Fighting Mormons. I mean, we have the Fighting Irish. And think of how many people all over the world cheer for the Irish, no matter where they're from. They're like, no, I'm fighting Irish. I love Notre Dame. I'm all about that. Fighting Mormons? Not bad. Okay, here's another one. The Utah Moose. Or you could even go up to the Utah Mean Moose if you really want to have something, you know, two-worded like you do. Bullwinkle could be your mascot, kind of like that. That's not bad. Moose are native to Utah. I think that's way better than anything they've thrown out. The Utah Hornets is not bad. The Utah Yellow Jackets, the Utah Blue Jackets, those aren't bad. The Utah Scorpions would be okay. Okay, I've got a few other ideas though. What about, hear me out, the Utah Tabernacle Choir? That one might have been used already. And you might think that's dumb, but remember, we already have the Utah Jazz. You going to tell me that makes any more sense? Okay, so we got to come up with something. Okay, I've got one for you. And it kind of encapsulates the state. It grabs some history. And when you hear it, it sounds nice and maybe a little too soft at first. And yet, you get this group riled up. You get this group mad. And trust me on this. Your life is going to be a living hell. That's right. I'm just going to say it. The Utah Sister Wives. Utah, you're welcome. Of course, the 2024-2025 NFL schedule is set to be released tonight. And the NFL has already leaked that the NFL season opener will be the Baltimore Ravens going to Arrowhead Stadium for an AFC Championship game rematch with the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday, September 5th. Now, the NFL schedule will include 9 playoff rematches from the 2023 season, and you can bet the reigning Super Bowl champion Chiefs will be on prime time a number of times. The Chiefs this year will play a Super Bowl rematch with the Niners, and they will also play the Buffalo Bills and probably crush their spirits. Plus, we will get the San Francisco 49ers playing an NFC Championship game rematch with the Detroit Lions. That might be fun. And this year's NFL schedule is actually going to include the now traditional Thanksgiving Day feast of games throughout the day, because of course we get 3 now. But get this, we're also getting a Christmas week banquet of games. The NFL is going to play on Christmas Day. Now remember, this year that falls on a Wednesday. Then they will play on Thursday. Then they will play on Friday. Then they'll play on Saturday and Sunday. So the NFL will be playing this year, December 25th, 26th, 28th, 29th, and 30th. We are going to be jam-packed with football this holiday season. And of course, I know it's not even June yet, but why can I already not wait? Now, you may be asking, why is this newsworthy? Why are we talking about the NFL schedule? We already know who they're going to play. We already know the teams that are going to play, and we're just finding out where and when and that kind of thing. But we already know the schedule on some level. So why does the NFL do this? I'll tell you why. Because they can. And because honestly, we as sports fans here in America, we would literally rather watch them give us the season schedule where we already know the team's playing than watch the NBA. That's why. Hey, let's move over to the WNBA, who seems to be all in on making rookie Caitlin Clark the face of their league. They are hoping to bank on her marketability as a generational talent. And as Clark enters the league, the WNBA is looking to find ways to expand their appeal to some audiences. And they're trying to figure out any way that they can. Well, here's one interesting take. Because NBA commentator Bill Simmons, he was talking last week, and they discussed the WNBA. And Bill Simmons, who I believe is a smart guy, knows the NBA very, very well, knows basketball reasonably well, he had a couple of ideas. Here was the biggest idea and the biggest take I took from it. Bill Simmons says the NBA and WNBA should get rid of like separate team names, and men's and women's teams should be under the same team name like colleges do. So the NBA would, you know, kind of pump up the WNBA, and you'd have the Celtics, and then you'd have, you know, the Lady Celtics or whatever. Now, there's a couple people that push back on it. Like, why would we want those to be the same? But Bill Simmons was saying, hey, why do we force people to come up with team names? Like, I don't know who the Indiana team is. I don't even know if they have a team in Boston. I have no idea. But if they just had a team in the same city and they were called by the same name, it might be a little bit easier. Okay. I get the sentiment. I understand it. It does make it easier in a lot of ways, but I'm just not sure it's completely fair. Because think about this. You're talking to a friend and your friend is telling you, man, I don't know what it is, but the 76ers, they can't make a layup. Well, who are they talking about? Like the men's Sixers or the women's Sixers? I don't know. I mean, probably the women, but you know, you never know. When you say, you know, the Clippers, they spend way too much time on their outfits going to and from the game. There's way too much preening and wearing flowered culottes and that kind of thing. It's just a little too much. Oh, you mean the Lady Clippers? No, I'm talking about Russell Westbrook. Or, again, maybe the Celtics. You're saying, hey, I don't know what it is, but the Celtics can't dribble. Well, again, are you talking about the men? Or are you talking about the women? No, I'm talking about Jaylen Brown. That's what I'm talking about. He's developed a left hand. He's been in the league for a while now. You see where this could be, like, confusing? I don't like it. And I don't think we should do it. Let's leave the WNBA nicknames as they are, where no one knows them. Finally, Los Angeles Lakers legend Byron Scott lobbed out an idea amid the Lakers' search for a new head coach. Byron Scott says, hey, we all know LeBron James is calling all the shots behind the scenes anyways. Why not just make it official? Of course, we know LA cut two-year head coach Darvin Ham, a guy who got overruled by LeBron most all the time. He got humiliated by LeBron all the time. The King never stood up for his coach, and Ham became the first Lakers head coach to make the postseason and then get fired. Well, Byron Scott went on, I don't know, a podcast or ESPN or whatever, and he said, hey, since LeBron gets the final word inside the organization anyway, then why don't they just make him the head coach? Here's what Byron Scott had to say. I got nothing but love and respect for LeBron. I love him. I think he's one of the greatest players that ever played this game. But it's obvious to me, at least, that he's making a lot of decisions in this organization from a coaching standpoint to a player standpoint. As far as I'm concerned, the only person that he's really going to trust is himself. And since you're making a lot of decisions anyway, why not just put him in the front seat? Hey, we know LeBron is calling a lot of shots. Watch him in the huddle. He rarely listens to his coach. We know he's gotten a lot of coaches fired. He's asked for input on roster decisions and who to bring in. And then when it goes bad, does he get fired? Of course not. The head coach gets fired. Or the players he wanted to bring in get cut or traded away. Hey, as LeBron approaches his 22nd season in the NBA, we know he wants to play the game alongside his son, Bronny James. Maybe you just make him a player coach, and then you get Bronny and everybody's happy, right? Okay, I'm going to be honest. I love this idea. I really do. I would love to see LeBron actually have to go to the podium and answer for some of the nonsense that goes on in Laker games. I mean, think about it. That would be wild. LeBron. Can you speak as to why your star players are always faking injuries? Also, why does your star 22-year power forward whine so much? That'd be great, wouldn't it? That would be phenomenal. However, this will never happen. Because first of all, a player coach is no longer allowed. The NBA's collective bargaining agreement actually bans that, so it's not possible. Second, there is no, and I mean no way, that LeBron James would be accountable in that regard. He ain't answering for nothing. But I'm telling you, Byron Scott might be onto something. That would be wonderful. I'd pay to see it. Okay, coming back. The NBA playoffs are rolling along, but who are the winners and losers from these playoffs so far? Hey, we've seen a number of each. Well, we're going to get to winners and losers from what we've seen so far when we get back. So the 2023-24 NBA playoffs are nearing the end of the conference semifinals. And, you know, we've already seen some interesting things taking place. We've had some surprises. And as usual, we have had some winners and we have had some losers. Today, we are going to take a look at some of each, and please don't misunderstand, because this can all change very, very quickly, and we have seen that happen already in these playoffs. Just when we think we know how a series is going to go, it flips completely. Let's go ahead and jump in. I'm going to give our first winner, and I'm going to give it to New York Knicks fans. Look, I don't know how their season is going to end up, but I will say this. For the first time since like the 90s, the New York Knicks are at least relevant. I mean, the Knicks are really interesting to me. They're interesting to watch. Now, I don't know how talented they truly are, and they're really banged up. But remember, the Knicks have three former Jay Wright Villanova Wildcats on that roster. You've got Jalen Brunson, you've got Josh Hart, and you've got Dante DiVincenzo. And as a result, yeah, they're tough. They battle. The Knicks eliminated the Philadelphia 76ers in six games in the first round, and they are in a dogfight in the semifinals with the Indiana Pacers. Now, are the Knicks a threat to win it all? No, I don't think they are. They're just too banged up, for one. And I don't know if they're talented enough anyway, if they had everyone. But Knicks fans finally have something to be excited about, because it has been a long, long time coming. The Knicks have been an absolute disaster in recent years. Now, are their fans going to be way too excited and even obnoxious over this very limited amount of winning? Of course they are. But let's let them have their fun while they can. I don't think it'll actually last too much longer. I'm going to give our first loser, and I'm going to give it to the Milwaukee Bucks. Remember that the Bucks have been trying to replicate that 2021 title, and they've been trying to get more pieces to surround Giannis Antetokounmpo with, but whoever they get can't stay healthy, or Giannis isn't healthy, or whatever. So this year, they go out, and they really stepped up. They went and got former Portland star Damian Lillard to add into the mix. Okay, so what happened? Well, he got hurt too, along with pretty much everyone else on that roster. Hey, the Bucks completely underachieved this year. They went just 49-33. They were the number three seed in the playoffs, and they were eliminated in just six games by those Indiana Pacers. Okay, like I said, I know the Bucks were injured, but the Pacers? Really? The Milwaukee Bucks have to be the biggest disappointment of the entire year, let alone the playoffs. I'm going to give a winner to, once again, the NBA Western Conference. I know. We keep hearing every single year, you know what? The East is catching up. You know what? The East might even be better than the West. We just don't have any evidence of that. Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota, Dallas. Hey, this conference is loaded. Now, that isn't to say that the winner has to come from the West, because I guess there's a chance the conference could beat itself up so much that I guess a Western team could be worn out by the time they get to the finals. But I'll be honest, I kind of doubt it. Hey, the top four or five teams in the West would be probably a top two seed, top three seed in the East. And a team like the Clippers or even the Lakers or even the Kings, they would make some serious noise in that Eastern Conference. Now, I've been saying this literally since the Dose first started, going back to the radio days. I've been saying, and I realize I'm in the minority, but I kind of wish we would just seed the top 16 teams and just play that off. I don't care what conference you're in. I understand playing it during the regular season. You're in your division. You're in your conference. It makes travel easier. It makes this easier. It makes that easier. But when we get to the playoffs, just give me the best 16 teams and play that off, because I don't care about geography. I don't care. Because some of these teams over in the West, they don't even get into the playoffs. Meanwhile, in the East, they're letting in garbage teams. I mean, think about this year. Who would you rather see? Golden State, and I realize Golden State has their own issues, or Chicago. Chicago had a losing record. I don't want to watch that. Give me the 16 best teams. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what side of the Mississippi River you're on. Give me the best teams and let's play that off. It would be way better than bringing in teams with losing records because you're east of the Mississippi. It's dumb. The Western Conference, big winner. I'm going to give a loser, and I'm going to give it to what is probably the second most disappointing team in the NBA, and that, of course, is the Phoenix Suns. Hey, the Suns flamed out last year to the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference semifinals. Well, in the offseason, they were like, okay, we're going to fix this. So the Suns decided to make a trade. They shipped out Chris Paul. They shipped out DeAndre Ayton. And they got sharpshooter Bradley Beal. Hey, Bradley Beal can stretch defenses. That is going to allow Kevin Durant and Devin Booker to slash and attack. This might work out great. Now, we realize, of course, the Suns had to bump up that salary cap quite a bit, but who cares? You got to spend money to make money, son. And so now, the Phoenix Suns are paying the highest salary in the league. Except that the brain trust in the Phoenix front office failed to calculate that Bradley Beal has never won anything in his entire life. And if you watch the guy play, he honestly kind of just seems happy to cash those checks and chuck up threes. Well, that was really apparent because the Suns were eliminated in a sweep by the Minnesota Timberwolves in a series that honestly, it didn't feel that close. Well, now the Suns are another year older. Oh, and also, they have the highest cap in the league. And they have nothing whatsoever to show for it. And they have nothing really to feel that good about. Because are you telling me next year it's going to change? I don't see how. You're another year older. Kevin Durant's probably going to get hurt again. And Bradley Beal doesn't really care if he wins or not. Yeah, Phoenix, big loser. I'm going to give a winner. And I'm going to give it to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Hey, the Thunder are the number one seed in the Western Conference, and they have been very, very good all year. They are very good defensively. They are young, and they are hungry. They crushed the New Orleans Pelicans in the opening round, and they made it look pretty easy, really. Then they jumped on the Dallas Mavericks early in that series, but that series is kind of flipped. And now that looks like that may be a tough, drawn out physical series. So you might be asking, why am I making Oklahoma City a winner? I'll tell you why. Because they're facing Dallas with a very banged up Luka Doncic. Luka is limping up and down the court. Every time he hits the floor, he has a hard time getting back up. Luka does not look like himself, and yet he's still finding ways to make plays. So this is a very close series as it is. But imagine if Luka was actually fully healthy. Oklahoma City might be in some serious trouble. So congrats to the Thunder. You're getting to face a banged up Maverick squad. Seems to be a pretty good fit. I'm going to give a loser, and I'm going to give it to the sports media world that has been telling us the last 2-3 years that Philadelphia 76ers big man Joel Embiid has been the MVP of the league. Well, Embiid has been good. He just hasn't been the MVP. And this year, of course, he had that knee injury, but then he came back for the playoffs. But then when he came back, he looked more, I guess I'd say, Draymond Green than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Why in the world does Joel keep kicking and hitting people? Why does he keep being a big drama queen? But this is who the sports media keeps jamming down our throat, telling us this is the real MVP. Shut up. You know, it's like the group PETA. When you tell me we need to stop killing animals for their fur, cool, I get it, I'm listening. But then when you tell me, and you know, by the way, cockroaches matter more than people, okay, then I don't have to listen to you ever again. And when the sports media keeps telling us, you know, Embiid should actually be the MVP every single year, and then he has performances like this in every single big game that he plays. I feel the same way. I don't need to listen to you. When he ducks his top opponents every chance he gets, when he is constantly injured, and honestly, he's kind of a dirty player, I don't need to listen to the sports media anymore because you're just telling me nonsense over and over again. And I just have to tune you out. Speaking of the Most Valuable Player award, I'm going to give a winner to Denver Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic, who picked up his third Most Valuable Player award in 4 years. Now, Jokic earned the award for the third time in 4 seasons, beating out last year's MVP, Joel Embiid. He also topped Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Oklahoma City Thunder and Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks, who finished second and third in the voting. And Jokic's third MVP really wasn't that close. He picked up 79 first-place votes, had a total of 926 points. Next up, Gilgeous-Alexander, 15 first-place votes and just 640 points. Again, not close. And then Luka had 4 first-place votes while only having 566 points. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo finished 4th, and New York Knicks guard Jalen Brunson came in 5th. You know, Jokic is the first center in 6 decades to win the MVP 3 times in 4 seasons. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did it back in the 70s. Jokic is also the 9th player in NBA history to win at least 3 MVPs. He joins Kareem, Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, LeBron James, Wilt Chamberlain, Moses Malone, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson. Hey, that's pretty elite company, right? In his 9th season, though, think about this. Nikola Jokic played in 79 games. Hey, for that reason alone, I got to give the guy credit. He actually plays. He joined Wilt as the only players in NBA history to finish in the top 5 in total points, rebounds, and assists in multiple seasons. Jokic is also the second player to record 2,000 points, 900 rebounds, and 600 assists in a season, joining Oscar Robertson. Again, Jokic is a big man, not a guard. He averaged this year 26 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists per game, all in the top 10 in each category. He had 25 triple-doubles. Pretty impressive stuff. Nikola shot 58% from the field. He was 36% from three-point range. And of course, the Nuggets posted an 11.8 net efficiency when he was on the floor, which dropped 3 full points when he was off the floor. So it's obvious, he's pretty valuable. Remember, the Denver Nuggets don't have another all-star player on their roster. Nikola Jokic is the MVP. He gets a winner. But I'm going to give a loser, and I'm going to give it to TNT analyst and former player big man Shaquille O'Neal. Look, I love Shaq. I do. He's a giant child. And he and Charles Barkley on the TNT broadcast team, they make what I think is kind of a tough league to watch sometimes way more entertaining. I love watching them. However, when TNT held a live interview to announce that Nikola Jokic had won the MVP, Shaq decided to use the time to tell Joker he didn't agree with the voters and that he would have given his MVP to Oklahoma City's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Here's what Shaq had to say to Jokic, live on the air. I don't like to rain on people's parades, but I'm not happy with this one. Congratulations to the Joker. You're the best big man in the league, but I felt Shai Alexander deserved it. Well, I'm sure Shaq didn't say it like that. He probably said, congratulations to the Joker. You're the best big man in the world, but I just felt Shai Alexander actually deserved it. And then Jokic responded by saying, we don't judge people here, so that's fine. That's your opinion. I think there's a lot of players that deserve it. Okay, I'll be honest. Kind of a jerk move by Shaq to say, especially live to Jokic, who didn't vote and most likely doesn't even care. But let's look at Shaq's case. First, Shaq said that Gilgeous-Alexander should get it because Oklahoma City had a better record than Denver. Okay, they had the exact same record. Oklahoma City got the top seed. because they had a better conference record. But let's not let facts get in the way. Jokic averaged 26 points, 58% shooting. SGA averaged 30 points on 53% shooting. Hey, maybe Shaq has a point. Let's look deeper. Jokic averaged 12 rebounds a game, SGA 5 rebounds a game. Jokic averaged 9 assists a game, SGA 6 assists per game. And Joker's win share of 17 is better than Shea's 14 win share. Okay, Shaq, so what is this based on then? Just points? I mean, Joker is better in every other category and higher in win share, so shut up! This sounds like jealousy. Why? Because you like Shea better than Jokic? No, because Steve Nash beat you back in 2005. Shaq, I love you, but you're a huge loser here. Shut up. I'm going to give a winner to the Boston Celtics, who finished their season with the best record in the league. They had 64 wins. Then they cruised through the defending Eastern Conference champ Miami Heat in the first round playoff series, and the Celtics look like the class of the East. They have been absolutely dominant. This team has talent. They have depth. They have experience. Hey, Boston should be the favorite to win the title. I'm going to give a loser. And yes, I'm going to give it to those same Boston Celtics because this team is so Jekyll and Hyde. They can look so good and then turn around and play awful the very next night. They are so schizophrenic. They don't always want to play defense. And more importantly, they play in the Eastern Conference, which is very, very soft. And for that reason, I believe that if Boston does go all the way to the finals, they're going to be in some trouble because they're not used to playing the talent that the West has night in, night out. It's just different. Argue if you want. It's just different. I'm going to give our final winner for the NBA playoffs so far to college basketball. Hear me out. Get this. The NCAA tournament averaged just over 9 million viewers for the duration of their tournament this year. From opening round to the finals, 9 million viewers. Right now, the NBA playoffs are averaging 3.5 million viewers per game. Look, I know the NBA tells us the United States hates basketball. It's clearly not true. The United States hates bad, slow basketball with terrible officiating, and people aren't watching it. People barely follow college basketball during the regular season, but then they tune in for the tournament. This year, people in America even watch the women's tournament more. College basketball right now is crushing the NBA, and it isn't even close. College hoops is a big winner. I'm going to give our final loser of the NBA playoffs so far to the person that deserves it the most. No, not LeBron. And that is NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, who honestly has been so bad for the NBA that if I didn't know better, I would honestly think he's trying to destroy the league. It is like he is shaving points. He allows players to completely stomp all over him. He refuses to punish any of them because he is such a nerd and he wants so desperately to be their friends that he just lets them do whatever they want. And yes, I am talking about him not suspending Denver Nuggets guard Jamal Murray for literally throwing something at a referee. Jamal should have sat out a game. You know, players say things about NBA officials being on the take. Silver does nothing. Players refuse to play in games. Silver does nothing. Officials are notoriously terrible. Silver does nothing. Players want to be political. And you can say, hey, that's fine. That's their platform. But remember, it alienates half your audience. Adam Silver is ruining the NBA with his lack of spine. He's a loser. And he always will be. It feels like he is intentionally trying to ruin the NBA. Like if you went out and you were like, I'm on a mission to destroy the NBA, you would do what Adam Silver is doing right now. Hey, he's succeeding. He is ruining the league. He is terrible at his job.
I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
Okay, coming back. Like we talked about at the top of the show, the NBA draft is coming already next month. And no, I'm not trying to drill down on what I think is actually probably going to be a very average or below average class. But Our Daily Dose Top 5 today is going to be giving you some facts from the draft that are so odd, you might think they're kind of made up. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like we spoke about at the top of the show, the NBA draft is already coming next month. Now, I'm not sure this is a great draft class. I actually think it's a really average draft class, maybe even a below average draft class. We'll see. But the NBA draft has been a place where we see teams' fortunes change and change quickly. I mean, who can forget the Houston Rockets getting Hakeem Olajuwon? Or the Los Angeles Lakers getting Magic Johnson? Remember when the San Antonio Spurs got Tim Duncan? Or when the Cleveland Cavaliers got LeBron James? It completely changed their franchise. I mean, the Orlando Magic were nothing. They get the top pick in the draft and they get Shaquille O'Neal. Everything changes. Hey, when you have just five guys on the floor at the same time, you can really flip your team's dynamic quickly. And yet, the NBA draft is wildly unpredictable. And just like the NFL draft, it can be far from a sure thing. Well, today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down five facts about the NBA draft that when you hear them, they kind of sound insane. But I'm here to tell you, they are absolutely true. Today, we count down the top five NBA draft facts that sound made up. I will warn you ahead of time, they are not made up. You can look them up if you want to, but they are absolutely true. We start off at number five. And here's our fact that sounds made up. Did you know that U.S. Olympic sprinter Carl Lewis was picked in the 10th round of the 1984 draft by the Chicago Bulls? This was just a month before he would win four gold medals at the Los Angeles Olympics. Oh, wait. It does get a little bit weirder because Carl Lewis had never even played basketball, not even at the high school level. Lewis attended high school at Willingboro High School in his hometown of Willingboro Township in New Jersey, but he only focused on track. Well, many colleges, obviously, tried to recruit Carl Lewis, and he chose to enroll at the University of Houston, where he, again, ran track. But he didn't play any other sports. But the Bulls saw his insane athleticism, and they decided, hey, let's take a chance. The draft was bigger then, it was longer then, so they went ahead and selected Carl Lewis. But it wasn't just them, because Carl Lewis was also taken with the third to last pick of the NFL draft, in the 12th round by the Dallas Cowboys, despite, again, a lack of familiarity with even playing football. Lewis hadn't played anything else. Granted, he came from an athletic family. His older brother, Cleveland, played professional soccer for the Memphis Rogues. His sister, Carol, was also an Olympic long jumper. But Carl Lewis was still drafted in the NBA, and he never played a second or even showed up for anything. Now, he did try to sing the national anthem prior to a Bulls game back in the 90s, and let's just say it's a good thing he was fast, because my man couldn't sing.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight for the rampart we watched. We're so gallantly streaming, and the Rockets ripped.
Carl Lewis, being drafted by the Chicago Bulls, comes in today on our list at number five. We reach number four. And we have another fact that kind of sounds crazy, because do you realize that Wilt Chamberlain and Oscar Robertson were not selected number one in their respective drafts, despite being the very top prospect in the country when they came out? No, They weren't. Instead, they were picked with, get this, a pre-draft territorial selection. Okay, this is crazy. Back then, when those guys came out, a team could give up their first round pick to take a player if that player played within 50 miles of the NBA's home arena. Okay, that is completely insane. But it also doesn't even make sense. So Oscar Robertson was an Indiana kid, right? He played his college ball at the University of Cincinnati. Okay, so the Cincinnati Royals were able to select him under this goofy clause. However, remember this, Wilt Chamberlain had played his college ball at Kansas. So how was it allowable for the Philadelphia Warriors to take him? Well, the Warriors argued that since Wilt played high school basketball in Philly, he was there. Doesn't it sound like a bunch of crap? The all-time great was the only territorial pick in history for whom that exception was made. Hey, the NBA has been making shady moves for years, and here's another example. Wilt and the Big O not being drafted number one, but bizarrely being taken by teams that they were kind of close to? Yeah, sounds made up, but it comes in today on our list at number four. We arrive at number three, where I will make another odd statement to you. Suns fare very well in the NBA draft. No, not the Phoenix Suns. They don't usually. But do you realize that sons of former NBA players get picked in the NBA draft pretty much every single year? Think about it. Mike Dunleavy, 2002. Luke Walton, 03. Jackson Vroman, 04. Sean May, 05. Ronnie Brewer, 06. Al Horford, 07. Patrick Ewing Jr., 08. Steph Curry. Gerald Henderson, 09. Ed Davis, in 10. Nolan Smith and Klay Thompson, in 11. Austin Rivers, in 12. Tim Hardaway Jr., in 13. Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins, in 14. Devin Booker, Jerry and Grant, Larry Nance and Justice Winslow in 15, Domantas Sabonis in 16, Jaren Jackson in 18, Bol Bol in 19, KJ Martin in 2020, Jabari Smith in 22, and Jet Howard in 2023. This is actually kind of mind-blowing. And I know we hear this and we're just like, well, yeah, sons of NBA players come to the league, no big deal. Except that, remember, now there are only 60 draft slots per season. And the NBA has the fewest alumni of any of the big four sports in America because there's only five guys on the floor at the same time. Yet somehow, NBA players are creating their own NBA players at a wild rate. Hey, if you're the son of an NBA player, I can't explain it, but you have crazy high odds for making it to the NBA yourself. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be a star. But you'll get drafted. I don't know if this is scouts saying, hey, he's got the genes. It's in his blood. I don't know what it is, but it happens almost every single year. And we have a chance of seeing it again this year. When, you know, the Lakers select LeBron James' son, Bronny, despite Bronny not being anything resembling an NBA player, at least right now. Hey, sons of NBA players are crushing the NBA draft. It doesn't make any sense, but it happens all the time. And it comes in today on our list at number three. So we reach the number two NBA draft fact that sounds insane, but it is actually true. And we have another statement for you. Are you ready? If your NBA team sucks, you obviously want your team to have a high pick in the NBA draft, right? Then you can go about rebuilding your franchise. However, the spot you don't want to be in NBA history, at least in recent NBA history, you do not want the number six overall pick. Yeah, it doesn't work out that well. Here's a few players taken recently, at least kind of recently, at number six. Stacey King, Felton Spencer, Tom Gugliotta, Calvert Chaney, Bryant Reeves, Ron Mercer, Robert Traylor, Wally Szczerbiak, Dwan Wagner, Danilo Gallinari, Jan Vesely, Martel Webster, Nerlens Noel, Willie Cauley-Stein, Yi Yanlin, Johnny Flynn, Jarrett Culver, Onyeka Okongwu, I'm not making that up, Benedict Mathurin, and Anthony Black. Now, don't get me wrong. There are great players that have been taken with the number six pick. It just doesn't happen that much lately. Larry Bird was taken at six back in 78. Lenny Wilkins back in 60. Adrian Dantley in 76. But recently, I don't know why, I can't explain it, but the number six pick has been jinxed. The best number six picks of recent memory are probably Damian Lillard back in 2012, and I guess Shane Battier back in 2001. But those are exceptions. They are not the rule. The number six pick in the NBA draft, for whatever reason, just doesn't seem to be very good. Now, if you hear that and you think, Clint, that's crazy. There's no way that's true. It just is kind of a freak accident. Well, think about this. The Charlotte Hornets hold the number six pick this year. Do you really think it's going to be good? Yeah, me neither. It all kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, the number six pick in the NBA draft, it just isn't very good. It's kind of jinxed, and it comes in today at number two. So we reach the number one fact about the NBA draft that when you first hear it, you might think, that doesn't sound right. Oh, but it absolutely is true. And here's our number one fact. The second round of the NBA draft, it's mostly not very good. Don't get me wrong. You can find value in the second round. You can. You can find contributors. You just will rarely ever find true stars. Do you realize that Willis Reed is the only second-round pick in NBA draft history to go on and win an MVP award? And Dennis Rodman is the only second-rounder in the Magic Bird era since then to ever make it to the Hall of Fame? The most All-Star appearances by a second-rounder during that time is three, accomplished by two different guys, Gilbert Arenas and Paul Millsap. Overall, there have been seven Hall of Famers who went in the second round, but that was like way back when. That was back in the old prior to like Magic and Larry years. Now, you only have two rounds of the draft, and there's not that much happening in the second round. I mean, if you go back far enough, yes, you can find it, but the only second rounder right now that you could really look at and say, hey, they've got a chance to be special. KJ Martin was in the second round. Jalen Brunson was in the second round. They are our only hope right now. The second round produces some solid players, some contributing players, just not any stars. And really, it doesn't even produce anyone that close to being stars. Again, KJ Martin and Jalen Brunson are it. If you go down that second round list, you're going to see a lot of guys that you're like, who? I don't even remember them. For whatever reason, the first round is where you get talent. The first round is where you get stars. The second round of the NBA draft, hopefully you get some glue guys. Hopefully you get some tough guys. Hopefully you get a nice bench player. Stars? No, you're not going to find it there. It sounds crazy. Oh, but it's absolutely true. Hey, next week on the Daily Dose, the NBA playoffs are rolling along in the NBA Finals. Hey, they're going to be here before we know it. Well, next week, we are going to help you be prepared for all of it as only we can. So be sure you stop by the Daily Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for sharing the videos. Thank you for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.